Welcome to the Purpose Podcast. I cut it off twice. I feel like I just felt led that I should be doing the intro. What you don't know is I did this a second ago.
It was terrible.
And then I did something. Apparently I said something inappropriate. They made me do it again. Did I get you? Did I trick you?
You tricked me.
I tricked you. And so, hey, welcome to the Purpose Podcast. We are so excited. I have tears in my eyes. I'm so happy about what I did. I'm so proud of myself right now. I hope you guys are excited. We're excited. Today's going to be awesome.
It's going to be amazing.
It's a great time of year.
It's the best time of year.
It's one of my favorites. All right, we talked about this last time. It's hard to get your head in it, get your head in the game. What's the favorite Thanksgiving? Let's do top two Thanksgiving foods.
Oh.
It's coming. It's here.
It is here.
It's here.
I'm trying to get my groceries out of time. I would say I love sweet potato casserole. Oh. And we make the one that they make at Ruth Chris.
Oh.
Y'all, so good.
Yeah. It's not really sweet potato casserole. It's
sweet potato dessert.
Sweet potato on the bottom, and it's mostly brown sugar and pecans.
Yeah, it's very good.
It's so good.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like those, like, obviously outside of turkey. You know, you can't be like turkey because that's the main meal. I like your mom makes these stuffing patties.
Oh, yeah, those are good. Those are good.
Oh, the corn casserole?
I thought you were going to do that.
I love the corn casserole.
I'm going to say it. I hope this doesn't sound racist. That's a white trash dish. When I look at it, I think that's white trash.
Can you say that?
I don't know. Well, if
you're saying it now.
If I'm not allowed to say it, put it in the comments. It is, if you don't know what we're talking about.
It's Velveeta.
It's macaroni and cheese. And corn.
And creamed corn.
It's
really good.
It's
one of my favorite things every time.
I can't bring myself to eat it. So my favorite, and I hope my sister's listening because she's an integral part. We fry our turkeys like Americans. We fry our turkeys and then we do our initial eat, and then afterwards, whenever we can breathe again, we usually make a sandwich. And sandwich is you toast that bread. Me and my brother started it. We toast that bread. You got some good pieces of fried turkey. Get some skin on there.
Well, and this year I'm gonna make sourdough for them.
Oh, and then my sister makes this buffalo dip, and you put that on there. If you've ever seen Friends, we call it the moist maker. I get like nostalgic thinking about that sandwich. And so it has nothing to do with family or, you know, being thankful. I am thankful for that sandwich. That's where it comes down to.
Well, happy Thanksgiving. Yes. Welcome to the holiday season.
Yes. Which we're going to talk about that today.
We're going to talk about the holiday season, winning your world.
Winning your world in the holidays.
In the holidays.
Man, there's not many people who can really peeve you off like family.
Ooh.
Isn't it?
And they can just ruin the most wonderful time of the year.
You want to talk about Micah right now, or you're talking about somebody else?
They move away, and now you got to reschedule all your stuff.
That dirtbag. But we really are. I do think a lot of times, which I think you corrected the stat I said for years that there's more suicides in the holiday season than the rest of the year combined.
Yeah.
But there is a increase in depression and some of those.
There is, and actually. January is the worst. So this season, you see most divorces, all that stuff happens January. So everybody like does their best to get through the holidays. And then you have this surge of, okay, now I'm just going to do this thing I've been, whatever it is, all these feelings I've been trying to put off. And now here they come like a waterfall after Christmas. So winning your world is not just, it doesn't stop because you've become busy during the holiday season. As a matter of fact, it is incredibly important that you are present because January is coming and you get to build a foundation now of patience and hope and encouragement that people can lean on and come to in January.
And it is funny. Rachel is obviously a much kinder person than I am. So she wants to do everything that everybody asks during the holidays. And I just want to encourage you, one of the most caring things you could say in the holidays is, no, I can't do that. But if you want to really care for people, for your family, for your extended family, for your friends, the best thing you can do is to win your world during the holiday season. I mean, the reason people are grateful, the things that we celebrate at Christmas, we lose sight of them. If you're somebody in a loving, caring, serving way, can bring attention back to. And again, it doesn't have to be like you're going to stand up and do a sermon. You're going to make everybody see what they're grateful for, even though those things are great. But with how you talk, how you interact, the questions you ask, like those kind of things, you can bring like a peaceful, life-giving culture to your family. And that's what that's what everybody needs, not just now around Thanksgiving, not just at Christmas, but like you said, in January. So let's talk about some outlooks, some ways that we can live that would cause us, because I think everybody would say, I want to win my world, but what are some thoughts that we can walk into the holidays with to ensure that we do win our world?
I would say one of the things that's really helpful is Mother Teresa, when you, which we asked this question, hey, if you could have dinner with anyone in history, any time in history, who would you have dinner with? Like, and you can't say like Jesus and Paul, okay. One of the people I would love to sit down with knee to knee would be Mother Teresa. And when she's impacted literally the entire world through the gift of hospitality, of caring for the stranger. And she and the women that she poured into, they would ask this question, what would happen or how would I treat this person if they were Jesus?
Man, say it again for the people in the back.
If this person that's sitting across the table from me was Jesus, how would I treat them?
Yeah.
And that can be a really hard question to ask if the person sitting across the table from you, you grew up with, like you still doing dumb stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't love it. Mm-hmm. But what if for a second we took a step back and said, hey, if this was Jesus and Jesus was living in this time in history and had their job and had and those experiences had happened, how would I serve the Lord?
Yeah.
Like and I'm not saying you get down and you wash their feet and, you know, break a bottle of perfume and wash it with your hair, you know, like Mary did. But we do say, hey, this person in my life, I can serve them and bless them. How can I do that?
Yeah, like an example you said is like, what if you saw Jesus washing the dishes? And a lot of times, if I'm sitting there watching football or whatever, somebody's in there doing the dishes, like if it was Jesus, and even if I went over there, like, and he wouldn't let me do it, I'd still stand with him. I'd still talk to him.
Oh yeah.
You know, I'd still want to be around him. And I'm gonna botch this, so help me. Mm-hmm. And we haven't got it right, I think, since we heard it. But Maxwell, we were with Maxwell recently, and he said something that just blew our minds.
Oh,
he essentially
so good.
said like if you pity something, you'll try to fix it.
No, if something is broken, you'll try and fix it.
Yeah, and there was another one we can't remember.
I can't remember the
second
one.
But he said, if you value something, you will serve it. And so think about like, if again, this football season, think about an athlete that you value. If they were walking to a restaurant, you'd hold the door. If they dropped their fork and you're trying to act like you're not fangirl next to them, you pick it up. And so and I believe that we would say we would do that with Jesus. But what about with Jesus' image bearers?
Mm-hmm.
And so treating every person like they were Jesus. And so, and I think that's something to remember, that if we value something, that we serve it. Which again, we learn
that
from
good.
Jesus.
Here's the other one is if I think you're weak, if I see you as weak, I will help you. Okay. If I see you as broken, I'll fix you. But if I see you as valuable, I will serve you.
Yeah, and just what a great way to do that. And so, hey, another question. And again, we're talking about family, and I want to encourage you that a lot of when you look throughout history, a lot of how Christianity spread, that it is through people's social networks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, and that includes our families. It's not through like evangelistic crusades, even though those are big, but it's through people who get impacted by the Lord and they go back into their homes, go back into their schools, and they impact their social networks, which is winning your world, right? And so how do I win, how do I win my world with my family is a great question.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think this is important, especially if you, I think it's important just to highlight for a second the position of dad in the home and how you as a dad are impacting your children. According to Finding Purpose, when a father is the first in his family to come to Christ, 93% of the time, the rest of the family follows. In comparison, when a child is the first to find faith, the family follows about 5% of the time. Wow. And when a mother is the first, the family follows 22% of the time.
Wow.
So how you as a family unit function, so mom and dad, wives, how you honor and serve and submit and respect your husband, husbands, how you love and serve and protect and honor your wife, and how you don't, and how you steward your children with mercy and grace in the fruits of the Spirit, that can literally impact generations to come. And so this is not, hey, the holidays can become a time where we are in a short fuse, our schedules get really busy, and we are forced to come face-to-face, I think sometimes with some conviction about how we handle our family, and so we just would rather avoid it and move on. That's been my case. Mm-hmm. But I just want to like encourage you, dad, you set the tone. So if you are like, if you're a father listening right now, how your family responds at the holidays, you get to lead the charge in it.
Hey, that last minute and a half, if you're a man on here, or hey, if you're a wife on here, maybe you just want to send it lovingly to your husband. I think it was around minute 10 to minute 12. Like that's a game changer right there.
We need as like, I'm telling you, as a, and I'm a strong, independent, type A personality. I'm fine to come in and run a room. But there is some, when Zach walks in the room and leads our family, I can follow in a way, and I thrive when you come in and you lead our family this way. The reason I can create the environments I can create for people who are far from Jesus is because of the way that Zach leads our family and champions the nurturing gift that God's given me.
Yeah.
So I just want to like encourage you. Hey, this is a season where you can learn even better in your marriage. Hey, where's our strengths? And where can we, as we come knee to knee with our family, where can we lean on each other?
Yeah.
And how can I honor what God's given you and how he's gifted you in these particular situations?
Yeah. And if it, maybe if your family are all believers, so like my family is going to be all believers. We're going to talk about family a lot, but I want to encourage you, let's have some people in our home over the holidays that don't know Jesus. Invite neighbors over, invite friends over. If you don't have any lost friends, I don't believe that honors the Lord. That's not how we saw Jesus live. Mm-hmm. And so invite them into your home. And even if you're like, hey, I'm uncomfortable giving like a gospel presentation, or like if you bring them in your home, and again, you guys pray over the table, pray over their chairs, like pray it over. And when they get there, they're going to experience a difference. You know, have you ever been like, maybe you're with a couple that, or a couple that does know Jesus, and you hear and feel how they talk to each other, and you're like, gosh, that's whenever people come to our homes, they hear how we talk to each other, our kids, how we serve things. We're not anxious and stressed out. Like we're people of peace. I think that's a
most
huge
of the time, I'm not
huge deal, right?
Well,
we do our best. But when it comes to your family, here's a question. Are you the place people go for peace and hope when things get hard? There's always something's hard around the holidays, whether it's a moment like a circumstance or whether it's a historic thing that somebody passed away or you missed somebody. But when it comes to things in your home, are you a place of peace and hope that people know they can come to?
Well, I love the story. Preston Perry, in his book, How to Tell the Truth, he shares his personal experience of witnessing to some people in his family. And he tells this incredible story about his grandmother, who her husband dies and the family is like wrecked. Everybody's a mess. And his grandma takes one day, she says, don't talk to me for 24 hours. She goes into her bedroom and shuts the door. And this is a woman of faith. And so she's fasts basically for a day, weeps, gets before the Lord, and comes out full of joy. And her family is like, we don't know what is happening. But she was the place where she brought hope into their family in the midst of this brokenness. And Preston talks about how that taught him, hey, his cousin, who he has cousins and family, hey, they're not saved. And they he's shared the gospel and they don't want anything to do with it. But he's who they call when things get bad. Mm-hmm. And not because he's going to, he's not fixing the problem for him, but he has hope.
Yeah.
And so recently, one of the things that I had a family member and really like I was talking to my sister and I realized like the Lord had convicted me, have not served and loved my sister well. And I was not a place of hope. It's like it, she could at the end, if something was really, really bad, call me. But I hadn't created an environment where she could come and get hope in the day to day where I could, you know, meet her where she was. And I had to posture myself to apologize.
Yeah.
And so I did. I apologized. I said, I'm so sorry that I didn't create an environment where you felt like you can talk to me regularly. And it opened up an entirely new dynamic in our relationship. Mm. And I would say this is a great opportunity because people are coming up, they're coming in with their guards up.
Yeah.
They're ready for the fight at the dinner table over the election. They're ready for somebody to not buy someone a gift because they don't like who the boyfriend is or the girlfriend is or how they're living their life. They're ready for the passive aggressive statement. And when you walk in with humility and hope.
I'm so glad they're here.
Yeah. Yeah. Like,
that's what I hope people think about us.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so glad that you're here. You should be walking in with the sword of the spirit and the gospel, the sandals of the gospel.
Yeah. And I want to encourage you, if you married into a home, like Rachel's parents are, they're so godly, they're great people. But like, I know your sister would mm-hmm. be, she loves when I would be there.
Oh, she loved, Zach's the favorite.
And so, but it was, I was going to sit there with her boyfriend. And again, I wasn't perfect, mm-hmm. but I want to, I don't bring the same quote unquote baggage, or probably not quote unquote, like that's really what it is, family baggage.
Yeah, and so, everybody has some family baggage.
Yeah, so you can bring like a lot of peace and restoration mm-hmm. and stuff, even if, you don't have the same last name or that you married into it. And so
how you treat people at the dinner table over the next few weeks matters.
And if you're wondering, okay, I'm not this spiritual guru, how can I make sure I'm doing that? Ask questions.
And they're going to say things you don't agree with.
No, right.
They don't align with your values. And all you have to do is listen.
Yeah. And again, these conversations we're having with them, if we can take them a step closer to Jesus.
That's all. That's right.
Like this study's old, so I wonder if they have a new one. It previously it used to be people had to hear the gospel 8 times. Before they accepted Jesus. I bet you it's a lot more now. That's an old study. And so, like, I need to have some conversation with a guy. And I'm hoping to have one, like, once a week. So I talk to him every day. But, like, so when we're at the table, and I know, I get that some of this is hard. When somebody says something that you disagree with. So, like, we've had some people in our life, a transgender woman sit down at our table who is in a relationship with somebody that we care about. And I don't think it like needed to be said that I disagree with those life choices. I didn't need to say, hey, before anybody touches their silverware, I just need you guys to know, I think that God made you a man and there's not a mistake and yada, yada. Mm-hmm. Like they knew that. They see what I post. We prayed before dinner. If I had to sit there and say, hey, I disagree with it, then I wonder why I feel like I would have to do that. Is it insecurity? Do I feel like I have to like assert something?
Am I afraid they would think I am unholy?
And again, I'm not trying to tell you, like, if the Holy Spirit prompts you, that's fine.
Absolutely.
But what's the most important thing? The most important thing is that if you got closer to their life, if they could feel some of God in your conversation, because again, you look, now Jesus told the woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more.
Right.
He sends the woman at the well in John 4 to go and to be a witness. He didn't Yeah, I don't know. That's just that's an interesting one.
Well, and I think this is a really good example. I was having a conversation and I overheard, and I just kind of invited myself into it because they were sitting there at the same table. And they were having this conversation, and she was complaining about where she lived and, you know, I wouldn't live in Knoxville if I didn't have to, but now we can't sell our house and all this stuff. And there was so much complaining. And I just said, man, you know, I just think you're here for a reason. And I know that you may not like it, but I just brought my biblical worldview, which is God works all things for the good of those who love him, which there's a purpose for you being here to made into the likeness of Christ. And, but I didn't say it that way. I didn't say the scripture. I just said, you know, and I brought hope. Hey, I think there's a reason that you're in Knoxville.
Right.
And you may not know it yet, but I'm confident that there's a reason you're here.
Yeah.
That posture is so different from the world.
Right.
So if you can pull, you don't have to use the actual Bible verse when you're talking to someone, but take the posture and the premise and the value and just bring it to the table. So when people are mad about politics and all this, they're like, why aren't you frustrated? You say, gosh, you know, I am just not worried about who's president. I have so much peace. And they're like, why do you have peace? Well, I love how John Maxwell says it. Mm-hmm. He says, well, I'd hate to offend you because it has to do with my faith. But if you just knew Jesus like I knew Jesus, you wouldn't be so afraid. You know, like I don't have fear because I have the relationship I have with Jesus. And but I would never want to talk about Jesus because I would never want to offend you. And people are curious about what this is. So we love listening to John Maxwell. He's an incredible evangelist. Mm-hmm. But sitting, how you treat people at the dinner table when they talk about stuff you disagree with and the posture you hold is so important.
Yeah. And which I think goes to a good thing we wanted to talk a little bit about, which is how do you win your world? How do you win your world with people around you who don't celebrate the same holidays? People who maybe they practice a different religion or something like that. And we believe John 14:6, if we have to say it, when Jesus said, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. We believe that wholeheartedly. And so what I would encourage you to do in that is I would encourage you, obviously, lead with love and kindness. But you know what I would do? I would educate myself. I think a lot of people, they just kind of put off like, it's not Christianity, so whatever. But I like to educate myself because if my loving, kind disposition and attitude towards them brings up a conversation, mm-hmm. I would like to be able to show them that I care enough to know what it is they believe. And that's another step. And if they give me the third step to say why what they believe isn't congruent with what I believe, then we can have that discussion. Mm-hmm. But it'd be hard to have that discussion without loving them first, mm-hmm. and caring about them, accepting them as a human, not as a Muslim or Hindu. Mm-hmm. You can do that. You know, Jesus did that. He was with prostitutes and tax collectors and sinners while they were still that, before mm-hmm. they knew him as Savior. But then whenever those conversations come up, then you can be ready, you know.
And you may say, well, how do I even create an environment for us to have those conversations? There's two ways. You can invite someone to your home mm-hmm. to celebrate with you. If they don't, maybe they're atheist and they don't have their family lives. A lot of people have moved to, if you're like in Tennessee and you're listening, a lot of people have moved here and they don't have family. Mm-hmm. So why don't you invite their family to come celebrate with you? Yes, it's going to be more kids in your house. Yes, you have to cook more food. What an opportunity to serve people and to meet them. Yeah. But you know what? Maybe they'll never come to your house, but they might go with you to serve in your community. Mm-hmm. And the holidays are a season where cities in general tend to create lots of opportunity for people to serve, to hand out gifts, and to come and feed the homeless, and to do coat drives. Ask them to come with you as you do something in your community and let them watch you be the hands and feet of Jesus, because they're like, hey, why? Because they'll feel good, like, oh, well, it's the holidays. And hopefully it's not the only time of year you do that.
Yeah.
And so when you go and you invest in the people around you that have nothing to offer you, the conversation come out, hey, why do you like doing this? Why do you want to do this?
Yeah.
Oh, man. And you have an opportunity right there to talk about the value of humanity.
Yeah.
God created people, and you get to share the gospel.
Right. And I just think it can't be overstated how powerful it is to make conversations about them, talk to people. And we're going to use a word that everybody's familiar with, but in a different context, because you could say very easily that this word is the same thing as evangelism or sharing your faith, and that is hospitality. So, babe, why don't you tell us about where that word hospitality comes from, what it means.
So when we use the word hospitality and when we see it in scripture, it's translated from the Greek meaning love of strangers. Mm. And, you know, Jesus, we see first, you know, you have the greatest commandment, which is love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. The second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. And you have the parable of the Good Samaritan. And what we learn in scripture is that your neighbor, the person, the stranger you're called to love, it's not necessarily about citizenship and geography or race or gender or sexuality. It is wherever and whenever people need us. They get to be your neighbor right now. And like Christ, you get to come in and show mercy. And that is the essence of hospitality.
Yeah.
So I would say, like, what does mercy look like?
Yeah.
What does it look like for you to show mercy to people around you?
And I do think it is. I think everybody would resonate with what you said, but if I could push it a little bit, it's really hard to have love, hospitality, mercy, compassion without action. And so first, it's a spiritual action, and second, it's a literal action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so a great example of this is in Matthew 9:36, when it says Jesus looked out and saw them as sheep without a shepherd and had compassion on them. That is a spiritual action.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only does he take action, he tells us to take action in the next verse, Matthew 9:37. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the harvest field. And so I just want to ask you in this holiday season, are you compassionate? Are you hospitable? Are you merciful? And you may say, well, I don't have the gift of hospitality. I don't have the gift of mercy. There's a gifting, and then there's commands.
Mm.
I didn't ask if you were the best at it. I asked if you are it, whenever you have the opportunity. Are you from a spiritual place? And then from a literal action place, well, are you a person of hospitality?
Well, let me reframe even this word for you, because you say, well, I don't really have an opportunity to like entertain strangers. It's not like back in the day where there weren't hotels and people just stayed wherever. But how about you, hey, it's the love of a stranger to the kingdom of heaven. So, hey, anybody who is a stranger to the kingdom of heaven, you get to serve. And you talk about like hospitality is a good work. And John 15 says, you can't do anything good without being connected to the vine. I think often we go into the holiday season not filled with the Spirit, not practicing our daily habits because we got busy, and we wonder why it's difficult to serve and to love to that level. Mm-hmm. And it's because we're trying to do good works out of our own ability, mm-hmm. disconnected from the vine. And which, you know, this might be contentious, but I would argue, even if you do something the right way and a good thing, and you're not doing it with the heart of Christ in mind, Jesus says nothing's good unless you're connected to him.
Yeah.
And I just would say, hey, like you want to be, I think everybody looks at the holiday season and say, I want to do like all this good stuff. Hey, if you want to do something good, you need to be connected to Jesus. Gratitude every day, prayer every day, reading the word every day.
Yeah.
And I would say, hey, like, I know there's a bunch of parties for schools and you're up late at night. You've got finals coming up. You've got to travel a bunch, and it is easy to fall off. But I would just put the gas pedal down in this season so that you don't miss it. I just don't want us to miss an opportunity to love the people who need us right now.
Yeah. No, 100%. I really do think that that's what a great opportunity we have. What a great time we have in the holidays to win our world, to bring more and more of God's kingdom into everywhere you go. So I really do. I pray that your home, your atmosphere is one of the most evangelistic, loving, caring places that people just want to be there. They want to be around you. Again, like that, the Perry story, like it is, there's hope here, there's life here, there's peace here. And so as you win your world, that's what's going to happen. What a greater time, what a greater season than the holiday season. And hey, it's that time of year again. If you, I want to encourage you over the next couple of weeks, start praying about your word for the year. For 2025, and where does God want you to grow? Maybe you ask yourself this question: what's the one place or thing that if I grew, life would be better? I'd make more of an impact. I'd win my world more. And then what's that look like for you? And so I just want to encourage you. People need to be cared for. People don't care for themselves well. And so let's be Jesus and let's care for them. Let's do what Mother Teresa did and look at how would I treat this person if I knew they were Jesus? Because remember, Matthew 25, Jesus says, as you did to the least of these, you did to me. And so this holiday season, let's honor Jesus most. And so we love you. Your purpose is to win the world, and we're honored you let us be a part of it. We'll see you next time.